Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are excited for another episode, another time spent with all of you, the listeners and audience of the podcast. Thanks for listening every week. We really appreciate that. It is an honor that we don't take for granted that you would choose to listen to this podcast. So thank you for that. We want to get better at it. You can hit us up on Twitter and let us know how we can, at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham. And, man, we want to hear from all of you, and we want to make this podcast better for you, the listener. So let us know how that can happen, topics that you want us to talk about, requests that you have, all of those things would be fantastic. And then you could also do us a great service and head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Those things are really helpful because they do just what we've been talking about and let us know how the podcast is going and what you think about it. They also, when you leave a rating and review, help other people find the podcast as well. So if you could do that, it takes about 30 seconds to mark the stars and write the review, and that would be super helpful. So thank you for considering that. And like I said at the very beginning, thank you for taking the time to spend with us as we talk about student ministry stuff. So this episode today, I'm going to throw it over to John Paul pretty soon to kind of set this up because it's a piece of advice and something that he got early on in ministry that I really believe is timely for right now in our culture and kind of some things that we're seeing in student ministry and maybe some things that you might be struggling with, maybe something that may hit home with you, either an encouragement in how you're currently leading in student ministry or perhaps even a challenge to kind of rethink some of the things about how you're leading. So John Paul, why don't you take it from here and kind of intro with that piece of advice that you got and get us rolling.
Yeah, so this came from a conversation that I had with a pastor of a church in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was one of those conversations, you know, hey, pastor, tell me some of the things that I don't know when I think about one day if the Lord calls me to pastor a church. It's kind of one of those just broad umbrella questions. I don't know what I don't know, and I'm ready to soak up whatever you've got. And so one of the first things that this pastor said was that he believes so many young leaders step into the pastorate and immediately start to pursue pulpiteering rather than pastoring. That meaning that they kind of get sucked into this as they're preaching every week and preparing for this every week. They start to get drawn into the potential of, oh, maybe I can be heard one day. Maybe I can become the next leading voice, the next preacher that everybody wants to be. And because a lot of times we believe our own press and we have people come up to us and say, hey, that was such a great message. You know, this was fantastic. That's the best I've ever heard of this or that, you know, whatever it is. It's an easy trap for us to fall into. But we have to realize that when we start trying to be a pulpiteer and all we think about is the next message and how we're going to present that truth and how it's going to impact the people that we're speaking to, which are all good things. But when that's the only thing we think about, we neglect shepherding our people. We neglect relationships with the people that we're speaking to. And I think one thing that we would all say is that without that personal ministry, without those relationships, without that discipleship intentionality, so much of our preaching can fall on deaf ears. Yeah. And ultimately the call is not to preach to these people. The call is to make disciples. The call is to, like Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. And that goes beyond the message that happens from the stage. And so that's what this is about. How do we understand that this is going to be a temptation? And then what do we do to make sure we're not falling prey to that trap?
Yeah. And I think an important thing that you said there at the very end of that was that it goes beyond the stage and that pulpit, so to speak, moment, or that speaking, preaching moment, because that is a part of it. And we want to recognize that it is a part of it. It's an important part of it. At the same time, it can't be all we focus on. It can't be all we do. It can't be, man, I don't, there are a lot of people, and I throw this out to you. This, John Paul, this is something that we haven't even, that I don't think we've discussed. Even the greatest joy of ministry, man, should the preaching fall into that, man, this is the greatest joy of ministry is when I have that preaching moment. Man,
it's such a dangerous place to be in. I would say that if that is the greatest joy, you probably haven't been in ministry very long.
Yeah.
And that may be okay. You know, if you, man, you're just starting out, you really don't have those relationships yet. You really haven't walked with your people and done life with them and have seen God grow them. Or you're the leader that just stays in your office all day and legitimately all you do is preach, then I would say you're probably not fulfilling that call, the call that's on your life to the fullest. But man, I mean, I think we talked about this a couple of podcast episodes ago, getting to preach the wedding of one of the young men that I had opportunity to disciple for about 4 years through high school. And this is even 4 years after he left my ministry, but getting to preach his wedding to me as his student pastor was such a high honor. Like, that was a deep joy that I had in being a part of his wedding, not preaching his wedding, just being a part of the day with him and seeing what God's doing in his life. Went way beyond the pulpit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think the I think it is a big temptation, and I think that it's there to see that moment as the pinnacle of ministry, because you know, we see preachers, people preaching the word in Scripture, we see that as a high calling, and it is. We see that as something that God sets people apart for, and He does. And then we see it play out in our ministries, like you were saying from the very top. When you have that moment of preaching, I think it is the moment that opens itself up for people to be most encouraging to you in your leadership and in your calling. It's the most public thing. And so because of that, people are far more likely to come up to you and say, hey, great message last night. Or if you're a student pastor and your pastor's out of town and he lets you have the honor of preaching to the full church, or you have that happening on a regular basis anyway, then that puts you in the moment or in the opportunity for people to approach you and say, great job on this. And so I think part of that is that temptation to want to do things in order to get the pat on the back, because it does feel good. And it is something that encourages us in our calling. But it's also, like you were saying, that's a dangerous place when we begin in our, as people say sometimes, which I've never really understood, in your heart of hearts. Have you ever heard that? In your heart of hearts. So like down deep below the layers of your heart.
That resides inside of your heart.
That's right. It's like an onion. Once you peel back the initial layers, there's a separate heart. And that's the heart that, you know, kind of has the pride stuff and kind of has those temptations to want to seek the public approval, which in reality, if we look to the preaching that we see in Scripture and the proclaimers of God's word in Scripture, it was not about public approval at all. Like Paul is calling people out and he is bringing them to repentance. And pointing them to the fact that Jesus is the truth. And, you know, when we do that faithfully, sometimes it won't meet up with the approval of public opinion, even inside a church.
Man, the preachers in Scripture so often did that at the risk of their own lives.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there is no glory. I mean, it's full obedience. Let me preach this thing, and Lord, let me live to preach the next time.
Yeah.
Man, and it kind of makes me think about something that I said for the longest time when people would say, what do you feel called to in ministry? To begin with, I felt called to worship ministry, and then the Lord began to morph that through my first worship pastor position. And from that point forward, for a long time, I said, my call is to preach.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, I think there are many of us that would say that, or that have said that, man, my call is to preach, my call is to preach. And I think that can come from a genuine heart to teach the truth of God to people that need it.
Absolutely.
But if I was counseling somebody today, I think I would ask them, is that the most important piece of your calling, or is that your flesh crying out for the most public piece of your calling? Because it seems like it's such an easy thing to say, oh yeah, I'm called to preach. Oh yeah, I'm called to stand on stage in front of everyone and be recognized week after week. Oh yeah, you know, I'm called to be the out front leader, the face of a ministry. You know, oh yes, I want to be the headline. I'm called to be the headline in this little pond that God puts me in to lead. Sure, that's what you feel called to do. But is there some analysis that needs to be done of whether your flesh is leading out in that call, or if you truly feel called to teach the word in a deep way? And that would, teaching the word in the deepest way would not happen from the pulpit.
So let's make an assumption on the positive end of things that would say, okay, my motive in my calling to preach is none of those things. Like I'm, you know, those things are not in me in this moment. And it is like, I really do feel called to preach. I think there are some that feel that and that have that call. It just looks different than serving on full-time staff at a church. If you are truly called to preach, then to me, that looks like you are traveling, preaching different places. You know, some would have, back in the old days, that would have been the evangelist, right?
That's what I was going to say.
That just, yeah, like they are on the road and they are called to do that work. And I believe that's a specific call that God placed. And I've known a lot of these guys that have done that and are awesome at it. And that's the calling on their life. That's different than pastoring a group of people. And I think that there's a distinction that should be made there between those two things. Because to truly pastor people, you've got to be with them outside of that proclamation moment. And, you know, halfway through this podcast or whatever, I think it's important to say, we are not dumbing down the moment of proclamation of God's word in a public group setting. It's
not
important. You've got to do it. You've got to put time into it. You've got to prepare. I mean, treat it like it's the Super Bowl, right? Like it is an awesome, Christ-filled blessing and honor to be able to do that. Like it's fantastic. But if God has called you to pastor a group of people, it's not the only thing to do. And I think the temptation for all go-getter leaders and communicators is to approach that moment with humility before, during, and after, when the pat on the back comes, or even when the challenge comes, if somebody doesn't agree, to have humility on both sides of those things.
So how do you think a leader called to ministry, even the leader that says, man, for the longest time I've said I'm called to preach, but I know that this call to preach is specific to the local church. I'm not the evangelist, like you said, which is what I would call that. I'm not the itinerant speaker, but I'm called to pastor a group of people. Where do you think the checks and balances are? What's the weekly routine? What are the disciplines that they need to put into their life to make sure that they're not crossing that line of pulpiteer versus pastor?
Yeah, I think one is having a group of people that you meet with in discipleship. Even, this is a student ministry podcast, but even as a senior pastor, having a group of people, because there are some youth pastors are going to be listening to this and they're like, man, I feel called to be a senior pastor. And lots of times, like we've said, people say when they feel called to be a pastor, they say, I feel called to preach. And we've made a distinction between those two things. And so we know that some of our audience is going to become senior pastors or whatever. But I think having a connection in discipleship relationally with a group of people is a key part of this. So, like, one of the things that I really respect about a pastor named Robbie Gallaty, some of you've probably heard of him. He has done some authoring and he's at a church here. He's at a church here locally. One of the things I respect most about him, a great communicator, great teacher, all those things, but he meets every week with a group of guys in discipleship. And I think when we take that approach, it forces us off of the stage and into that moment where we are having that life on life kind of impact. Because every, like you, listeners, like you know this to be true, that when you walk through life with someone, it makes a greater impact than if you were to just preach and that be it. Because when you preach, it's a shotgun. When you walk through life with people, you're able to rifle in and really hit the things of life that those people are dealing with. And so for me, that may be a long way to say you've got to put yourself in positions where you are discipling a group of people on a frequent basis.
Well, and I think this is something that is measurable in a very real way. Because think about how many times you have been in a sermon series and you've got 5 or 6 weeks talking about whatever, and you stand up on week three and ask your students, hey, tell me what we talked about on week one. And you have like one kid raise their hand and give you a wrong answer.
It's always so demoralizing too. It's like, man, I preached my guts out. Can't you
Yeah.
remember?
And then you move to, okay, so week one, we talked about this. You give them a little grace, and it's like, okay, that was 2 weeks ago. Tell me what we talked about last week. And, you get a smattering of answers from a couple of kids. I mean, it's so easy for people to forget. I mean, think back to what your own pastor preached this past Sunday. Could you stand up and preach his message from this past Sunday? You can probably remember a thing that he said. And
Okay,
it's just
so
an illustration of, it's not that that preaching from the pulpit doesn't count. It's hugely important. But the things that you meet with, the things that you talk about when you meet with students on a regular basis, those are the ones, you spend an hour with three or four students and you really dug into this. You ask them next week what you talked about, they're going to be able to tell you because it sticks.
right. So I have to tell you a story about something that happened this past Sunday in our message at the church that I go to.
I'm ready.
It was amazing. So We started a new series. Our pastor has been preaching through the book of Mark, and it's been, man, I think we've been in Mark for like 2 years. And so we just started Galatians this past Sunday, and he was doing an introduction along the theme of, do you remember what your pastor preached this last week? So he did the introduction to Galatians, and he was making the point that, man, Paul was really angry when he was writing this letter, because it was an issue that he thought that he had under control. And if you remember, the Judaizers were telling all of these Gentile believers, hey, you have to be circumcised in order to truly be a Christian, in order to truly follow Jesus. And he's like, no, like, what are you doing? Like, it's Jesus alone, right? So, like, that's the setting of Galatians. And he's really aggravated. And so he was going through the book, just pulling out the passages, says, like, see, like, Paul, he calls them fools multiple times. And then he got to the part in Galatians 5 where he basically says, you know, I wish that for all of those who are agitating you, I wish that they would just emasculate themselves.
Yeah.
And he said, he used the word castration. He said, I wish that they would just be castrated. And he's, you know, we know that that's like sarcasm and Paul, but it shows Paul's aggravation. And I was sitting next to my 12-year-old son, and he leaned over because people laughed, right? He leaned over and said, hey, what does castration mean? And so right there in the church service, sitting there, I was explaining that, you know, here's what Paul's saying. I explained what castration was to my 12-year-old in our church service this last Sunday as a result of scripture. It was a scriptural conversation.
Well, and I'm willing to bet that moment will stick.
I think it took all of his willpower to stifle the laughter. I mean, he thought it was the craziest thing that would have been said. And my wife could not hold it together. Like, it was, because she knew, she's like, what'd he say? And I leaned over and said, I just told him what castration was. And she was losing it. It was an awesome moment. It was fantastic. But I remember that when we ask that question in student ministry, we rarely get the answers that we want. But, like, so let's take, for example, the wedding that you did. There are guys, because I know that guy and saw another guy that was in that group of discipleship, that was, you know, that discipleship group this last week. They remember specific things that happened, specific things that they learned, stuff that they walked through in those moments, because it was personal and detailed, and it was customized to where they were in their life in those exact moments. And I think, man, that is the beauty of God's word, is that it can be customized, and God desires to speak to us in the exact moments and things that we're walking through. Not customized in terms of like the meaning of the Bible changes, but customized in terms of, hey, here's what you're going through. Oh, man, scripture speaks to that, and this is where it is, and this is what it means. And so let's walk through that. And you just, that is what it means to pastor people.
Yeah, I wonder if this call to preach, when we're talking to new leaders stepping into a call to ministry, and they have this call on their life to preach, I wonder if the conversation should be, for so many of them, that, hey, you need to understand that you don't only preach when you step on the stage.
Yes.
But that a call to preach, as we understand it, is a call to explain the scriptures. It's a call to drive the truth of the scripture into the heart of a listener.
Yeah, that's right.
And that does happen from the stage, but it can't only happen from the stage.
Yeah.
Because we know that sanctification, as the term that we know from scripture that describes our lifelong process in coming to know who Jesus is and who we are and how those two things are supposed to fit together, what it looks like to pursue him, what it looks like to answer whatever the call is that he's placed on our life. That's a day after day. That's a moment by moment, never ending journey that the Lord promises to bring us on. So if the Lord is promising to seal us with the Holy Spirit and to hold us until that day of redemption, then how would we ever think that we could get away with a 30-minute message once a week and that be satisfactory for the discipleship of our people? It's impossible.
Yeah.
This is preaching on Wednesdays or Sundays or whenever it happens for you is just a small piece of truly preaching the gospel to the people we've been called to preach to.
Yeah. What would you say is another like practical way for somebody who might be struggling with the pastoring versus pulpiteer to get more into that pastoring mode?
I think a big part of that equation is to pray for your people. Because I think the things that we pray for, the people that we pray for, become the things and the people that we're passionate about.
That's good.
That we truly care about. So if we're just left to, and these are good things, right? Lord, help me to open up this word and take everything that I can from it. Teach me what I need to know. But then we often pray that through the filter of teach me what I need to know so I can preach it on Wednesday or Sunday. I think we need to begin, if you're not already, praying, teach me what I need to know to lead this person where they need to be. Show me how to lead my people. Show me how to shepherd this. You know, I love that you said we need to be discipling, meeting with a small group of students every single week. You need to be praying for them. You need to know them. You need to know their family. You need to know their interests. You need to get to know their heart, because outside of that, you won't know how to speak to their need. So I think as we pray for things other than ourself standing on a stage, being watched by everyone else, we begin to have a heart for things and for people other than ourselves as well.
Yeah, that's good, man. And ultimately, I think that's where it is. It's the heart that's developed for people. And I think the more time we spend with people, the more compassion, the more mercy, even if we may not naturally slide to that side of the personality spectrum, the more time we spend with people, the more of a burden we gain for those people. And when God calls you to a place, he's not just calling you to a role, he's calling you to a people. And knowing those people and being with those people, praying for those people, loving those people is just as essential to that calling as when you stand and proclaim God's word, or sit in a circle and proclaim God's word, or do it at a gas station or wherever. So I hope this has been an episode that has challenged you, encouraged you, in your leading of student ministry. We will see you next time. This has been the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.